You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Around, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The government has been presenting maths education as a crisis that needs urgent fixing, with Education Minister Erica Stanford pushing through rapid reforms. But some education experts say that the picture is much more complicated than the public narrative suggests, and that the real issues are being oversimplified. I spoke with Dr. Lisa Darragh from the University of Auckland about what the evidence actually shows, why the crisis framing has taken hold, and what the current reforms could mean for students and teachers. Now, to start broadly, you've argued that evidence doesn't clearly show New Zealand's math education system in a crisis. Why do you think that narrative has become so dominant?
Yeah, well, I see that having a crisis narrative can be really useful for enacting change politically. You know, by saying, hey, everything's in crisis, then politicians can kind of justify some of the reform process that they're taking. But what's quite problematic about this is that the pace of the reform becomes far too quick. So by saying, oh, everything's in crisis, everything's urgent, it means that reforms can go through without adequate consultation and without adequate consideration. And that's what we're seeing in the case of mathematics education, and I would probably say education more broadly as well. And the second problem with it is that it kind of means that there can be shortcuts made, and sometimes the shortcuts, skip due process. So normally what happens with educational change is there's, certain steps that are taken, like whenever there's a procurement of resources, for example, there's a process that gets gone through. What we've seen with some of this with fast-paced action is that due process hasn't been followed. So the third curriculum that was written in maths education had none of the usual processes of saying who would like to write it, and instead it just got kind of, well, we don't actually know who wrote it. It seems to have been sort of outsourced to a company without any kind of potential for people to bid for that. We see things like last-minute changes to the Education Act saying, oh, we need to remove teachers from the Teachers' Council. And so that all of these things that happen really quickly aren't good for education. They might be good for politics, but they're not good for the teaching and the learning of the students in our country, because it hasn't been slow enough and considered enough.
And you noted in your article that New Zealand's PISA scores have fallen, but that similar declines were seen across much of OECD during COVID and after COVID. How important is that context?
I mean, it's extremely important. And the thing about these sorts of big international data sets is that you can read them in different ways, right? You can look at absolute scores, you can look at comparative rankings, you can pick various time points where you're going to compare between now and then. And so you can actually get kind of creative with the statistics. So you can sort of say, okay, let's find the right data that's going to help me tell a story. And things are going on in other countries as well. So making the comparisons to other countries isn't always a good thing. We, historically in New Zealand, we've had less emphasis on kind of sit-down testing. We've had sort of more authentic assessment activities. And so we might not do as well as other countries that do a whole lot of sit-down testing. And it's important to remember that testing is not learning. Any time that is taken out for testing is time that's not spent learning new things. So I think it's really important to look at the big picture, look at the data across all of the years, look at all of the data points, and to also look at our national data. And we have some really rigorous assessments nationally that show that students have been achieving the same year after year after year. Now, this is a great thing in maths education. We actually want to affect change. We want improvements. We want to see our students doing better in maths. We want, we want to fix the issue that we have with so many kids not being very good at fractions. We want to make these improvements. We, in general, have had kind of an underinvestment in education of late. I'm not sort of blaming any political party for this. I would say two terms of Labor didn't invest enough in education, and three terms of National before that didn't invest in enough in education as well. So we've had a real stagnation in mathematics education, but we don't see crisis when we look at that national data.
Now, Education Minister Erica Stanford has introduced a new curriculum, standardized assessments, and structured maths approaches. What concerns do teachers and maths education experts have about these reforms?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because depending on the subject area, there's a slightly different story. So we're, and I think that can be quite confusing for the public. What we've had in both maths and English is Labor introduced new curriculum across the subject areas. National came in and rewrote those curriculum. And what we had is maths and English got new curriculums in, and they required to implement them at the beginning of 2025. Where all the other subject areas were still in draft form, maths and English had to follow this new curriculum. And the thing that got the whole sector up in arms is that 10 months after the introduction of this curriculum, a new one out of the blue landed in everyone's lap. So we had a third math curriculum arriving. So despite the fact that teachers had been given a new curriculum, they were learning it, they were implementing it as they went along, which is always challenging to be learning the curriculum and teaching it at the same time. Normally you actually get sort of lead-in time and you get time to learn a curriculum before you actually have to implement it on the run. But they were doing this, they were doing it in good faith, they were taking on board the changes in the curriculum and the increased difficulty level, they were appreciating some aspects of the curriculum, such as more detailed and specific information about what to teach at each level. And then suddenly this other curriculum arrived and it doesn't appear to have an author. It doesn't relate well to our own context. It just arrived out of the blue, and that was kind of upsetting for teachers to see that happen, especially since this curriculum is overloaded. In mathematics, it's overloaded with stuff that the students will have to memorise and do. And it's a whole focus on memorising in this particular curriculum. You asked about structured maths, saying that the minister's introduced structured maths. Now, the thing is, structured literacy is something that has a lot of research behind it, and you know, there's a lot of people who are very fond of structured literacy approaches. It's not the only way to teach literacy, but there's a reasonable uptake in the sector. But there actually isn't structured maths, so to speak. So there's plenty of plenty of the international groups or resources say, oh, yes, we do structured maths. And in response to the minister asking for resources that teach structured maths, but it isn't actually a thing. So what I think is meant when people say structured maths is they're kind of talking about a focus on explicit teaching and making sure that teaching is done in a sort of explicit sense that's quite teacher-centred and a little bit less student-centred than other pedagogies.
And you described a pattern before where the government establishes a sense of crisis, repeats this message, and then offers the reform solution. How do you see that playing out currently in the maths reform?
That's a good question. So what I think will actually happen is we're going to see a dip in performance. The latest results that we've had were measuring against the 2023 version of the curriculum, and this is a version that was never actually taught. The version of the curriculum that is out at the moment, and I call it the 2025 version, is much more difficult than that. And so the percentage of our students able to achieve the expectations of this more difficult curriculum is much lower than the data even shows. We don't know how much lower, but it will be lower because it's more difficult. And we're going to end up having a whole lot of students completely put off mathematics because the level is too much more difficult too quickly. And we've got a whole lot of the secondary school content has been pushed down into intermediate school. And at intermediate school, our teachers are not necessarily specialists at teaching mathematics. So there's some really sophisticated concepts that have to be taught that, in my opinion, should be taught by maths specialists, but are instead of being kind of forced on the generalist teachers of primary school. And I don't think it's going to play out well. We're going to see these students going to secondary school really unprepared for the level that the secondary schools are being required to teach, because that's higher as well for universities being moved down into year 9 and 10. And so we're going to see a dip in student achievement and motivation and joy in the subject of mathematics. And if it carries out in the long term, as it follows how things are going in other countries that have taken on this really explicit rigid approach to teaching of mathematics, we're going to see the drop-offs in participation in higher-level mathematics and drop-offs in participation in all of those subjects that require a high level of mathematics, which is in all the kind of careers that you might go into that require mathematics. Yeah, I think the final message I'd like to say is that we really need to listen to the teachers who are experiencing this reform and not just assume that they are reacting to change, because the teachers are willing to take change on board. I'm sure that teachers were happy to make changes in mathematics, but the pace and direction of this reform is not going to be conducive to good long-term educational outcomes.
That was Senior Lecturer Dr. Lisa Darrig on the maths education crisis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.